Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, the passage that we've got printed in the service sheet. And I'm going to read this out and then we'll think about what it is that Paul is saying. Truth to transmit, power, love and self-control. And we're actually, ironically, going to major on the self-control bit. Thanksgiving. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I, Paul, was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day, that is the day of the appearing of our Savior Christ again, when he returns. Now, what's going on in the passage? Well, Paul is writing to Timothy. Who was Timothy? By the way, this whole series is about following Jesus. And you might be listening to that as somebody who is following Jesus, or who's somebody who isn't yet, but is wondering what it's about. So this is about following Jesus and the difference it makes to us. Timothy, there was a time when Timothy wasn't following Jesus at all. He hadn't heard about Jesus, except he'd heard something from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. But they hadn't been Christians all that long. In fact, they couldn't have been Christians all that long, because nobody was a Christian all that long by the time Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. It's fairly near the end of Paul's life, and he's kind of passing the baton on to Timothy for Timothy's work in Ephesus. So Timothy wasn't a follower of Jesus. Now he is a follower of Jesus. He's a disciple of Jesus. He's walking in Jesus' way. Now Timothy has kind of oversight of all the churches in the city of Ephesus. In its day, large, wealthy, important, and full of all sorts of temples to all sorts of gods. In there were some Christians. They didn't have a temple and a shrine or anything like that. They just met in each other's homes. And there would probably in Ephesus have been several homes that the church met in, because they didn't have church buildings. Those didn't come in until about the 300s AD, which is really interesting, because the massive growth of the church without church buildings. They're useful, but they're not necessary. They're a good servant, but a terrible master. So the gospel had grown in Ephesus. People had become Christians. They met together. Where are you going to do that? You're going to do that in one another's homes. And the homes are only so big, so the groups could only be so big. Every now and then they'll probably all get together somewhere else as well. But that's the situation. So you've got all these little groups meeting in people's homes, and sort of having oversight of them, you've got Timothy, who was sort of sent there and put into that position under Paul's authority and everything else. So Paul writes to Timothy. Now, it's not simply that Paul knows that he's not got long left. So he's writing to Timothy and kind of passing on the baton, so to speak. is that Timothy himself needs these letters. There's stuff that Paul has to write to Timothy, to transmit to Timothy, so that some of it Timothy can transmit to other people, but because Timothy really needs it himself also. Now, Timothy is, and you know, it just works really, really nicely with his name, but Timothy is timid. He's relatively young. He's of a nervous disposition. He gets panicky tummies. He gets stressed out. He gets all the things that you get when, you know, you're well out of your comfort zone. Timothy is not a great, bold, dynamic, upfront, tell everybody what to do kind of guy. Quieter. Timothy is naturally a little bit kind of reticent. So by Timothy, reticent means you're just going to hold back a little bit instead of push yourself forward. Thank you, Mitch. So by nature, Timothy is more of a chameleon than a lion. Okay? Now, you can do this, like, physically, or you can do it in your head. But put a paw up if you are more of a chameleon than a lion. If you're really a chameleon, you won't want to put your hand up in case anyone sees you. Okay? That's Timothy. Now, you cannot, you know, overdo it because he's there in leadership. So, you know, he's had to step up to the plate for it. But Paul writes to Timothy, and some of what Paul is writing is for Timothy to transmit to other people. Some of it is for Timothy himself, to encourage him, build him up a bit, guide him and steer him. Now, in the bit that we've just read, I just want to concentrate for a moment on verses 6 and 7 before we get to verse 8. Timothy, we read earlier on in that first paragraph, has a really godly, lovely Christian grandmother, Lois. And his mother, Eunice, also, same. And now he's got that faith himself. Not because he inherited it genetically from his grandmother and his mother, but it's come to him too. And there may be some of us in the building today, and actually one of the biggest influences on our lives has been a granny. I mean, our granny. It's funny, isn't it, how things can skip a generation? So that it's actually a grandparent who has had more of a rapport with you than your own mother or father. Well, in Timothy's case, it was his grandmother and his mother who were also following Jesus. But then something has happened in Timothy's own life. It wasn't a genetic thing. You know, he's not a Christian because his mum was a Christian and his granny was a Christian. He's a Christian because of something God did in his life. Now, God brought the gospel to Timothy. That's what's going to come a little bit later on. But also God sent Paul, who laid his hands on Timothy, because God, by his Spirit, was giving Timothy this responsibility to lead the church in Ephesus and elsewhere. God was giving Timothy the responsibility to teach what folk needed to know from God's truth. God was giving Timothy the responsibility to grow disciples of Jesus in Ephesus in just the same way that Paul had helped him, Timothy, to grow. So these two things have come not from his mother or his grandmother, but straight from God. He had heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus. We'll come on to a moment. And he'd been commissioned and gifted and empowered by God through Paul for the job that he had to do. So, what happened then? That's what verse 7 is about. The Spirit God gave us, that is his own Spirit, himself, come into our lives when we become Christians. The Spirit God gave us, and then sometimes given in a fresh way when we're sort of set aside for a particular job. The Spirit God gave us But you see, Paul says us there, so it's probably that former thing. You know, what is it when God came into our lives by the Holy Spirit, when we started following Jesus, what happened? God, the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, okay, plain landing. God's Spirit and Timothy's own small s spirit were different. And Timothy, Paul is saying, Timothy needs to do those things that God's Spirit equips him for, not those things that his own spirit, small s, would naturally make him do. Timothy's own spirit, his own way, his own inner life kind of thing, that would make him hang back. It would make him a little bit scared of people. It will make him nervous, maybe about making mistakes, maybe about offending anybody, maybe about confronting people, whatever. It would naturally make him a bit nervy and give him the knotted tummy and the butterflies and everything else. His own spirit within him would make him not do things because he'd be scared. And Paul is saying, look, the Spirit God gave us, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is not a spirit of timidity. It's a spirit of power and love and self-control. So, don't be a mouse or a chameleon. You've got to be a lion or a man. Those of you familiar with the Sting song might be running some of the lyrics through your head there. My mouse or man, the mirror squeaked, away I ran. Now, this is something that we need to take on board in terms of what it means to follow Jesus, whether you're thinking about what following Jesus might mean for you or whether you are following Jesus. What does it mean? It means, if I can put it this way, it means a complete end to being yourself. Really? So that you really can be yourself. It means a complete end to being yourself. Now, that's important for us to catch because one of the biggest mantras of our day, one of the biggest sort of, you know, messages that our kids are getting pumped into their heads through movies and through websites and through school and through the values that are around them, one of the biggest messages our kids are getting pumped into their heads is from grown-ups, of course, you know, so we can't blame the kids. And the message is, be yourself. Now, in that we are all individuals, well, you think, yeah, okay, that's right. If I'm myself before God, that's great. I don't want to be somebody else. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to be false. So, you know, I've got to be, if God wanted somebody else there, he'd have put them there, kind of thing. Individuality, tick, good. But what we've done in our society is to make gods of ourselves. You must be yourself, and you can say what your real self is. And, you know, basically stuff everyone around you because you're going to be yourself. And we've got individualism, cross, not good. Because individualism means I become the gauge of whether something ought or ought not to be done. Paul is saying, look, Timothy, your natural disposition, being yourself, is to be timid and, you know, keep your trap shut. Don't get into trouble. Don't put your head above the parapet. Just, you know, keep your head down, timid. But God's not going to let you off with that, Timothy. God doesn't want you to be like that. You can imagine the internal thing, you know, what I want to be, that's who I am. You know, I've got this sovereign right to be who I am. No, Timothy. God is God. And there are ways in which God is saying to, I mean, to every one of us here as well, being yourself might not be what God wants. You see something going on in your family or in your circle of friends or in your workplace or wherever. You know that there is something basically fundamentally unjust going on. What are you going to do? A good few years ago now, about 30 odd years ago, maybe a bit longer, my brother and I were beaten up on a train. This train was going from Aberdeen down to Leeds and called via York. And as it was pulling into York Station, a bunch of oil workers who were absolutely and totally hammered by the time they got to York decided that in this non-smoking carriage they would smoke some more cigarettes. And somebody in the carriage thought that wasn't a very good idea and so complained. And for that complaint, Harry and I were beaten up. Not badly, I mean, it was just a straightforward, fairly normal beating up. You just take it in your stride. And the thing is, you step out and you know there's a price to pay. You're afraid. But something unjust is happening. The guard came into the carriage and asked around. They all looked to have been thrown off by then. Asked around, can anyone say what they saw? Because police were coming off the train. Back. And everybody stayed quiet. Everybody had seen it. Everybody stayed quiet. Fine, okay. And we said, forget it. Train had to move on to Leeds. We wanted to get home by then. As the train was coming out, went and spoke to one guy. And said, look, you saw what happened. You watched the whole thing. Why didn't you say anything? And he said, well, I'm just about to change jobs. I'm going into a new job. I don't want to cause any trouble for going into the new job. And, you know, naturally at that point in a day, you sort of think, well, great, thanks. But, okay, you can understand it. Now, here's the thing. If you would naturally hang back when the right thing to do is to step forward, if you would naturally stay stum and zip it for your own sake when the right thing to do is to step forward for the sake of truth and justice or somebody else, which would your own spirit prompt you to do? Now, Timothy's own spirit would prompt him to say, no, don't go there, stay out of trouble. Somebody else's problem. But the spirit of God in him was not a spirit of timidity, scaredy cat, mouse, chameleon, but a spirit of power and love and self-control, self-discipline. Now that is exactly the kind of thing that Paul is going to go on to say. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. That is, Timothy, do not stay quiet. Don't zip it when it comes to speaking about Jesus or about me, Paul. Speak instead of being quiet. The gospel that Paul lays out is the gospel that Timothy had heard and believed. And because of that gospel, his life was now totally transformed and he was following Jesus Christ. That God has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of what we've done, we're better than anybody else because we're not, but because of his purpose and his grace by which he gave Jesus for us on the cross. Jesus, who is our Savior, who brings life and immortal life, immortality to light through the gospel. And it's that wonderful news that I'm speaking about, Timothy, and that you've got to speak about. It made such a difference in your life. Your spirit would say, whoops, quiet, don't be different. But the Spirit of God in you isn't going to let you off without Timothy. And the Spirit of God in you will give you the power to get over your own timidity. And will give you the love for other people that will get you over your own self-protective self-love. And will give you the self-control, the self-discipline to do something instead of doing nothing. Doing something instead of doing nothing. Saying something instead of saying nothing. And do you see the central issue that Timothy has to come to terms with, that Paul is getting there? Saying, Timothy, you are not your own. You are not your own God. Let Jesus Christ be your Lord, and let the Spirit of God in you rule you, so that you have the power and the love and the self-control not to go hiding in your comfort zone, but to step out and speak about Jesus when you need to. So if you're thinking about following Jesus and wondering what that's about, or if you are following Jesus, the message is exactly the same. We're not gods of our own life. God is God. And he puts his Spirit within us so that we do what he wants and not just what we want. Not simply because what we want might be bad, but because what we want might not be good enough. Let's pray.